Welcome to the GMARC U, the Real Talk podcast series, where we break down the basics of federal policies and mandates with Tom Suter, founder and president of ATAR. I'm Matt Langan, and for our inaugural episode, Tom will be speaking about Trusted Internet Connections 3.0, better known as TIC 3.0, which was released in December 2019 by the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. And there will be new updates regarding TIC 3.0 this spring. And this is affecting agencies right now with remote working challenges and COVID-19. And Tom, how are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic, Matt. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Exciting to really kick off the first one in this podcast series and talk to you about TIC 3.0. And let's talk about that. What exactly is TIC 3.0 and why is it needed in today's federal IT climate?
Well, I think, Matt, to talk about TIC 3.0, I think we actually got it back to the original Trusted Internet Connection. And I'm going to take everybody back a little bit. It was back in the late 2000s. And if you can remember, pretty much everybody in federal IT had a BlackBerry. iPhones had just been released for the last couple of years, but that was like kind of your personal phone. It wasn't regarded as a business phone. And if you think back, we had about 2.5 Gs of bandwidth. We weren't even the 3G. With everybody was talking about how the world was going to eclipse us, and 4G was just kind of on the horizon like 5G is today. There weren't that many apps. Netflix was this really, really cool DVD rental company. Cloud was just coming on. I remember I had a company at the time, and I remember talking to my brother about cloud computing, and he looked up in the sky. He thought there was a data center on a cloud. So that's where we were back then. Our civilian agencies mostly had their own data centers. And they had many, many connections to the internet. And that's really what started this idea that there's so many connections to the internet, how are we going to monitor them? So they probably had about 4,000 connections to the internet. And the Department of Defense, they kind of had their act together. They had pretty much one network, maybe two major, major networks. And they had 15, 17 connections to the internet. So you can see what the challenge is. So we're now today, we're on TIC 3.0. And it reflects the security that we need today for the mobile user, for that user that works out in the field and is accessing their data out in the field, for folks dealing with pandemics, folks using Zoom. So it's like, how do I secure that device? You know, I'm out fighting forest fires and I work for the USDA or the Department of Interior. The Go Kit right now has been using land mobile radio from the 1960s. So now I have these different technologies. How do I secure that? And the government at that time, they were used to everybody working in the office, you know, to a high degree. Now we're all out in the field. And now we really are out in the field with this pandemic. So that's why this TIC 3.0 policy, while very, very important before, it is paramount today.
That's great. You talked a little bit about when it was first announced, but are there any timelines set for agencies to comply?
Well, they're still kind of going through it. TIC 3.0 has been in formation for about 3 years is when they first started talking about it with the need. And Margie Graves, who was the deputy CIO at OMB, you know, this was her last thing. She wanted to get this out the door before she retired and got out of government. And we finally got it out. So the next thing is we're looking at some of the use cases. And once we get those figured out and have some solutions available to the agencies, I think then they'll kind of try to make it a mandate. Like right now, it's a mandate. We don't have all the solutions figured out yet.
Got it. And overall, is this policy or mandate focused on civilian, DOD, Intel? What does it encompass? What types of agencies?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's really focused on civilian agencies, but I think it's a little different. TIC 3.0 is a little bit different than when for TIC. So TIC, the DOD and the Intel communities had their act together. They were the leaders in this. I think that they're not so much the leaders these days. I think they're in fairly similar boats as civilian agencies. They're still struggling with that remote user. And I'm getting a lot of anecdotal evidence from my DOD colleagues that they're not allowed to use video because it's basically clogging what they're doing. They're having a lot of performance issues right now. So I think they're in a very similar boat. And I think the DOD is looking very closely at these use cases and maybe adapting them to the Department of Defense.
That's great. No, you mentioned Margie before she left the OMB being a key driver of this, but who are the key leaders in the federal space right now that are driving TIC 3.0?
That's a good question. It's a coalition of the willing, but I would say that Sean Connolly, who works for the CISA, Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Agency. He is primarily the lead. He also works in tandem really closely with GSA, Jim Russo and Kevin Gallo over there. And then I think that TIC representatives. So every cabinet level agency has a TIC representative that has been identified. So if you're in a big agency like the Department of Justice that has 46, 47 sub-agencies, there's one representative. So I think that's important for folks to know that inside that agency that they do have one representative. And outside of that formal structure that they have, I would definitely look to the CIO Council. And one of the members of the CIO Council is the CIO of SBA, and her name's Maria Rote. And with her team, Guy Cavallo is the deputy and Sanjay Gupta is the CTO. They were on the original TIC 3.0 pilot, and they put this together at their agency, and it is actually available to government only. I was lucky enough to see their demo, but they are about once a quarter, and until this pandemic hit, I don't know if they're going to make it online or not, but they would bring in 50, 60 government agency representatives in there. So I would say they're definitely the major players.
That's awesome. Thanks, Tom. And you kind of addressed this at the top of the podcast, but I'll ask it anyway. What were the pain points, or let's dive in a little bit deeper into the pain points that federal IT faced that drove the need for TIC 3.0 today?
Yeah, the first thing I would say is it was discovered when folks were going into cloud migration. They were migrating their applications. And I remember very specifically, I was at my cloud and infrastructure summit, and in one of the sessions, one of the gentlemen was one of the first leader to migrate his application from the agency data center into the cloud. And that was really good stuff, except they found out that the performance was really lagging when they had a backhaul to the TIC, and it was a very big problem. And here's somebody that's kind of like on the cutting edge. So they were one of the first ones that brought it to my attention. And that's when the push for TIC 3.0 was just getting started maybe about 3 years ago. So that's been a big issue. I would say also there hasn't been really mobile computing has not really been addressed. You know, it's not realistic to backhaul all your data to a data center when you're in California and the data center's in Washington, D.C. You know, we know there's performance can be an issue anyway without having to travel a couple thousand miles one way and a couple thousand miles back. So users are used to their experience they have at home where they're used to watching videos on their phones. So I think that's been an issue. It's just been kind of swept under the rug and not really addressed.
Interesting. So from your perspective, what are the top five benefits of government by having TIC 3.0?
Yeah, I think we're already seeing a lot of this is just that better cloud performance, really utilizing the cloud. I think that's probably number one. I would say 1A and 1B is making that perimeter more secure. I think the adversaries go to the weakest points. We've already seen in this pandemic that they're taking advantage of us forcing us to go to the perimeter, especially for agencies that hadn't done it before. So they're kind of doing this on the fly. How do they secure that perimeter effectively? I think that's an issue. And then we're not utilizing the technologies, especially in disasters, when you're talking about FEMA in a hurricane, or when we have we're working with lots of different agencies. I think that's a big issue. And right now, a lot of times it's radios, cell phones. There's not a good way to make sure that while you're accessing that government data, that doesn't happen. And then, just the ability to use new technologies, Internet of Things, sensors, you're going to have to eventually migrate to that and address that reality. So I think I got four in there, but that's what I would say are the top benefits off the top of my head.
That's great. Thanks, Tom. And as always, will there be some sort of reporting mechanism here? Will agencies be responsible through report cards or whatever it may be for reporting the implementation of TIC 3.0?
Indubitably, there will. Yes, there will probably. I can imagine us doing that once we get to that point. I think the trend has been for these shorter report cards. And, it's something that needs to be done anyway to help you sleep at night. I think it's something that people want. And I think that, I want to be measured on my security at the perimeter. I think that'll give me peace of mind. And I think it'll be good when we do that. The problem right now is we're just getting together these use cases of what's acceptable. So it's like, we don't know what the curve is yet. We don't know what the criteria is for the grades. So I think that once we get that worked out, I believe we will have reporting, and I'm a firm believer that we should do that.
Yeah, that's great. That makes a lot of sense. We're still at the use case or the use case development phase of it. And that's a good segue into my next question is, how prepared do you think industry is to meet the requirements of TIC 3.0?
I think generally I'm very optimistic about this. I think that there is, to some degree, industry has done some of these things. Industry would not tolerate a performance issue right off the bat. So I think there's some really, really good solutions out there. I think that the challenge is getting this integrated, getting different tools integrated. Actually, I have an embedded base on TIC 2.0, and most of the time it's like physical equipment. How do I really take it to 3.0 and get all these different types of technologies and put them all together? You know, and then also the other challenge is, how do I get it funded, as well as how am I going to run it through which contract vehicle? Like right now, I think a lot of this will run through the EIS contract, which is basically telecommunications for the federal government. But I definitely think there needs to be some piloting. You know, one of the ways that ATARC is trying to help is with a TIC 3.0 lab, which would go into various different environments depending on the solution and pulling in the companies. And let's test this out before we bring it to production. We think that's going to be important, and very importantly, involve CISA to bring them in to kind of bless it, the solution, before, you know, we invest heavily into it and make it the way we do business.
That's great. Great insights there, Tom. Overall, from your perspective, what are the 3 to maybe 5 key takeaways for industry to be aware of when it comes to TIC 3.0?
Yeah, I think that you really have to develop your strategy and how are this working with other government policies. I mean, we don't have time on the podcast to go through other policies, but you have the CDM program, you have the Einstein. I think that you need to, where do we fit in this? And I think that you need to find the right partners. One of the things is you want to try to get in an approved product list on CDM so that it's a lot easier for that agency to utilize you. I think you really need to understand what's at play at the agency, where is their head at on these things. And right now, it's a really, really good time to pilot. It's not cast in stone what we're going to do. You know, when you go into like the Einstein solution, they prescribed exactly the products that are in that. Right now, it's kind of, they haven't even prescribed the approaches to the solution. So I think that if you can get your solution in there and help the government get to where they want to be. And I'll tell you what, you know, you're not going to have to worry about agencies being eager to do this. They want to do this now. That's what I've gotten in the feedback from the government agencies. But, you know, you're going to have to really understand the problem. And this is like with any technology, and we're going to probably be a recurring theme on this podcast, but you've got to, you can't use your corporate literature. You're going to really have to adapt to the government here. And, you know, I think that one of the aggressive things is, you know, if you're going to put your marketing, put it in the webcast, put it in in-person events when we get this country back to normal, but definitely engage with, you know, with the folks that are dealing with this. And it's mostly, it's a combination of the telecom side of it, the traditional telecom. It's the chief information security officers. You got to understand the players at that agency that are all involved, because it's not just one group. It's going to be a lot of, it's going to be the CIO. It's going to be the CTO. And that's where I would go.
Excellent. You know, Tom, this has been an awesome podcast. Really excited to kick things off for our first one with you. And for our closing question is, where can industry go online to learn more about TIC 3.0?
Yes, I would definitely go to the CISA site. That's been really, they've done a good job putting all the materials up there. The trade press has done a pretty good job. You know, the Fed News Radios of the world, GovExec. So they've done articles. They've covered different events, including ATARCs. I would definitely check that. They do a good job bringing it down in something you can understand. We also have a TIC 3.0 group that I would encourage folks to go to, that is where you really hear the challenges from the government and they express it. So those are some of the areas there.
All right, great. This is a wrap for our first Real Talk podcast series interview, where we break down the basics of federal policies and mandates with Tom Suter, founder and president of ATARC. I'm Matt Langan, and as you heard for our inaugural episode, Tom spoke about Trusted Internet Connections 3.0, better known as TIC 3.0, which was released in December 2019 by the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. And be sure to visit the Real Talk channel at gmarku.com to download our Cliff Notes Q&A version of this podcast about TIC 3.0. And Tom, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Matt.